I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Today's episode is a bonus episode. I hope you enjoy it, and please make sure to tune in Monday for a brand new episode of the Kara Golden Show. Enjoy!
You know, this, everybody's talking about the great resignation and people trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. And while I went through that almost 17 years ago now, I have hope for the fact that I think a lot of people are thinking about doing things that they're really excited about. I believe that none of us can move forward unless we create and disrupt.
This is The Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener. Welcome back to The Safari. This is Morty Singer speaking. Today, we're going to speak to Kara Golden, who is the founder of Hint Water, which is a very well-known unsweetened flavored water. She's won numerous awards for everything that she's done from so many magazines, I can't even list them, and including, you know, in certain magazines alongside of the likes of Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, she's a force of nature, this one. Previously, Kara was the VP of shopping at e-commerce at AOL, where she helped lead the growth of its shopping and e-commerce business to over $1 billion in revenue. And she's today an active speaker, as well as the being the founder of Hint, but she is the host of the Kara Golden Show and the author of Undaunted, Overcoming Doubts and Doubters, which was published by Harper Leadership. We're going to talk a lot about the resilience that it takes to be an entrepreneur and being undaunted by the hill in front of one. So please stick around. Kara Golden, welcome to The Safari. Thank you so much for doing this. How are you?
Thrilled to be on here with you. Great.
Where does this podcast find you?
I am in Marin County. It's a beautiful day today. Yeah, just outside of San Francisco.
So as you know, I love interviewing people like you who have such an incredible background, and not just obviously because you're the founder of Hint, which we'll talk about, but you know, the way you got here, the way you had a very, I would say, omni background in the sense that you touched many different parts of the industry and ways of thinking. And even before founding the company, you were really incredibly plugged into media, and you're a very left and right brain person. And it's really cool for us to, as usual, for those who follow this podcast, know that I have a thing for left and right brain people. So tell us a little bit about your background, because it's so important. Pre-Hint, you know, AOL days, e-commerce businesses, you're even talking and doing the rounds, being a motivator of people before Hint. So talk about sort of that platform and that history, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, I started my career in media, in the magazine industry, and that, after a few years, led to really what I look back on as my first startup. I worked for a what would be considered today a late stage startup. You never heard this out of the founder, Ted Turner's mouth, but I worked at CNN. I was in about 40% of households. And, you know, it's incredible. I think back a lot because that was the first place that I really saw an entrepreneur, a visionary entrepreneur, put stakes in the ground, as I say, around a brand and really believe. And I think it's part of the thing that all leadership needs to have, no matter if you're the founder or a CEO, you've got to believe, because if you don't believe, no one else is going to believe. And so I was there for a few years. I moved out to Silicon Valley with my fiance, and the only brand that I associated with the Bay Area was Apple. I had had an Apple when I was in college. I bought it because it was I was doing a bunch of papers, didn't want to do it on a typewriter. I didn't want a giant machine in my college dorm room. So I bought this cute little iMac with an Apple on it, and wanted to know who created such a thing, and looked it up and found that it was a guy, Steve Jobs. I thought, this is where I want to work, but I'm not an engineer. I'm not a product person. So I'm not sure how I'm going to get a role there. While I was doing research, that's when I ran across this little company that was a Steve Jobs idea inside of Apple that Apple decided not to continue. So five people that worked for Steve decided to spin it out. And it was in a little office, just one level above a garage, basically. But it was doing CD-ROM shopping. So this is 1994.
CD-ROMs, there you go.
CD-ROM shopping. And I cold called the guy. I found in an article, and I said, I just moved here from New York. I'd love to come and talk to you about this company. I kept thinking maybe Steve is like hiding out in this office somewhere and I can meet him. That didn't happen. But instead, I left the meeting with a potential job offer. They said, oh, you helped CNN try and figure out how to actually sell something when you didn't have metrics and, you know, all those things that basically airtime was based on. And that's when I said, you know, what's the worst that can happen? If I take a job with these guys and it doesn't work out, I can always go back to CNN. I can always go do something else. And that was really the beginning of e-commerce. I mean, looking back on it, 1994 was, you know, the CD-ROM days. It was crazy. My role was to go into retailers and get them to set up a store on this CD-ROM disk. This is when people faxed orders in. It was, you know, good times, crazy times, but so many stories. I talk about it in my book, Undaunted. People meeting with Mickey Drexler at the Gap and trying to encourage him to set up a storefront. And then one of our investors, America Online, decided to acquire us. And it was a couple of years in. I had never been through an acquisition before. And they asked me to run this thing called Shopping Partnerships. I didn't have a budget.
You built quite a big business back then.
Yeah, it was, we didn't know what the business would be. In fact, there was a bigger focus on news and sports and some of these other channels versus shopping. And my role was to grow it and populate it and see what happens. It's early. Fast forward 7 years, it was $1 billion in revenue to AOL. I was on the plane all the time. I had young kids. 9/11 had just happened. And I thought, you know what? I want to live in San Francisco. I don't want to be on the plane. I want to see my family. And that's when I decided to take a couple of years off. I kept thinking that I would stay in tech. There were a lot of tech companies in the Bay Area.
Second, just to put it into perspective, $1 billion online 20 plus years ago was probably most of e-commerce happening then, period. It was a huge business.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. And there's so many crazy stories, mm-hmm. you know, along the way. Things like I viewed what I did as starting an online mall.
Yeah,
I would, you know, study Westfield and some of the mall developers. I would go and meet with them. I would try and figure out, like, you know, how do I get Nordstrom's to be involved in what we're doing? And in order to get Nordstrom's, I had to get other anchors that they were interested in being alongside. All these things. But again, there was no roadmap. There was nobody telling me, here's what you need to do. It was just go try. So when I decided to leave, primarily because I really had built something significant, managing a team of a couple hundred people, I thought, now it's time to go find something more local that I'm not on the plane all the time. And during that time, I was, you know, interviewing a little bit, but also looking around what I was putting in my kids' bodies. And I had these young kids, had never focused on that before, but I was somewhat fascinated by ingredients. And as I was preaching to them, don't have apple juice, don't do this, don't do this, I thought, I'm a hypocrite. Like I drink Diet Coke all day long, yeah. And this stuff, I don't even know what I'm putting in my body. So I decided to quit. I've been drinking Diet Coke since I was in high school. I was a competitive gymnast. I didn't ever think that there was anything wrong until that moment when I saw the ingredient label. And when I gave it up, that's when I was thirsty and I started drinking water. And I thought, this is going to kill me. Like drinking water is so boring. I can't do it. And so I started slicing up fruit.
You can commiserate with my wife. Exactly. She feels exactly as you do.
Yeah. And I knew I needed to. I was very dehydrated. I was thirsty, but it was boring. So I started slicing up fruit and putting it in pitchers in the refrigerator. People would come over to my house and say, this is so innovative. And I'm like, I just put fruit in water. It's not really that innovative. And, but then the one problem I saw was that it would only last for like 2 days at most. And then it started tasting gross and, you know, get sort of soft and all those things that happen. And so I went to my local store and I looked for a product that I could buy that just had fruit and water. And I was amazed at the category as a whole. First of all, I didn't want any sweeteners in it because I realized that these diet sweeteners were the thing that were, that was actually keeping me from doing some of the things that I wanted to do, including losing weight. And I had developed terrible acne that I never even thought was, you know, ever curable. I never associated what I was putting into my body as the thing that would help me cure these things. Mm-hmm. And that's when, after giving up diet soda for 2.5 weeks, I lost over 20 pounds, cleared up my skin. And I thought, I bet there's a lot of other people out there who are having the same problem and they give up. They spend a lot of money on diets. They never associate it with diet sweeteners. And so when I went into the local store to find this product with just fruit and water in it, no preservatives, no sweeteners, I had no idea what I was up against. People ask me all the time, did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Nope. And it, still to this day, I share with people, you know, sometimes if you think too much about the end, you'll never get past the beginning.
Hey, Kara here. We are thrilled you are listening with us, and I hope you're enjoying this episode. I've had the pleasure of interviewing so many amazing guests over the past few years, and there are so many more to come. I cannot wait. And my focus is on entrepreneurs and CEOs, real innovators and leaders who are making a difference. That's what I'm looking forward to bringing you. One of the reasons I enjoy interviewing many of my guests is that I get to learn. We all need to hear stories that teach us to be better, inspire us, and help us get through those challenging moments. I can't remember the last time I had a guest that didn't leave me feeling like a major hurdle had been overcome. We just don't hear these stories enough. And when we do, we learn to be smarter and stronger. Don't you agree? Episodes are concise but packed with amazing info that you will surely be inspired by. Do me a favor and send me a DM and tell me what you think about each interview that you get a chance to be inspired by. And if you are so inclined, please leave one of those 5-star reviews for The Kara Golden Show on one of your favorite podcast platforms as well. Reviews really, really help. Now, let's get back to this episode.
So let's just jump in on that, because your book is called Undaunted. If we try and divide this conversation into two halves, the first half being the entrepreneurial part, and then the second part being let's call it the motivator or inspirational leader that you are to many people in how you show up and how you have your show and you have your media platform today, is about telling people to be undaunted and using resilience and sort of fostering resilience through that sort of mantra of being undaunted. So how you were just talking about, you know, moment zero of Hint, right? Of this notion, or maybe minus one even, whereby you said, well, I can't find it anywhere. And you had no there was no thought in your mind to not proceed. In fact, I think you took out $50,000 and tried to pitch your husband on, you know, hey, we're doing this. And thankfully he came along for the ride. But how does being undaunted feature in your journey and the entrepreneurial journey in general of others who you've spoken to, who I'm sure you've made many friends along the way who've also been entrepreneurs and founders?
I think that I led, and I've always led my life by allowing my curiosity to lead me in a direction. What I've realized over time that people often think that my journey, starting with even moving from Arizona to New York City and walking into the offices of Time and saying, I really want to work here, actually at Fortune magazine, one of the Time publications at the time. And I feel like that I never knew that that was strange, that that was different. I really, but other people would call it out as I wouldn't have the courage to get up and get on an airplane and go to New York. And for me, the experience, what if it actually works? If it doesn't work, I'll share with a friend why it didn't work or whatever. But if you don't actually do something, the regrets will be much more powerful. And I guess that's what I mean by living undaunted. When I started Hint, again, I didn't view it as starting a company. I said, wouldn't it be so cool to get a product on the shelf at Whole Foods? And when I barely talked to a person who was merchandising product in the San Francisco Whole Foods, and I asked him, how do I get a product on the shelf? He said, oh, are you asking about the local merchant program that we have? And I said, sure. Yeah. Like that's it. And I said, what's the local merchant program? And he said, oh, I thought that that was what you were talking about. And I said, how do I get a product into the local merchant program? And he said, well, you have to produce the product locally. Okay. I had been making this in my kitchen. And he said, and then you have to get a UPC code. You have to have a name for the product. He basically laid it out for me. And all of a sudden, it almost became, he had gamified it for me in some way where I thought, this might be really fun while I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, he gave you some hoops to jump through and so you jumped right through.
Yeah. And so I went home and I wrote a business plan and I thought, this will be really fun. And if nothing else, I'll be a great guest at a dinner party when people say, what's the craziest thing you've ever done? I started Beverage Company and it was, you know, and it failed, right? Or whatever it is.
We'll be right back. I want to take a second to explain to you why Traub is able to bring you the safari. We pride ourselves in being at the very center of a very global, very complicated consumer and retail landscape. And in our travels, as we help think, manage, and expand businesses in many different channels and geographies, we're able to meet and learn from some of the great minds in this industry. And it's really wonderful to be able to bring them to you. And in doing so, I hope that you, the listener, will be able to learn a little bit more about what we do at Traub as well. Back to the safari. So talk to me about product development, because I love product development and I have this image of what you had to do to go and create the product. And some people produce a product in their kitchen and others go to a contract manufacturer and say, I want to do this. And they look at them, in your case, probably like you had three heads and said, that's not possible. And so how did you get to where you needed to get to be preservative free and be clean or whatever the terms are? How did that happen?
Well, great question. So basically, you know, once I knew I was going to do this, and again, I never talked about it as starting a company. For me, it was just getting a product on the shelf at Whole Foods, which sounds a lot less daunting than actually going and starting a company. But I was, I had been making it in my kitchen. I knew in order to scale the product that I needed to find a contract manufacturer. And so I started calling around. I started doing some research and calling around. So the first question that every one of these people said to me is, okay, you're starting this company. Where were you before? They were sizing me up, like wanting to know if I knew what I was doing. And
CNN and AOL, of course.
I was at AOL. I ran the, you know, okay, what? I'm on America Online. I'm in the chat rooms. I mean, they just had no idea what I had built, but they also sized me up pretty quickly that I was probably a risk, right? That I would, in their mind, that I would not be able to figure this thing out. And then when I dropped the bomb to say that my specs were no sweeteners and no preservatives, it was like, well, we can't do that. And I think it's interesting because I didn't grow up in the beverage space. So I didn't really know what I couldn't do. I wanted this product as a consumer, but I didn't want the preservatives. But when I asked this question of contract manufacturers, I said, well, why is that? And they said, you just can't. And some of them were paying up the phone or, you know, many stories around that. But I thought the one thing that I kept asking, which I felt like I had permission to do that from the tech industry, was I would say why. I was not afraid to ask why. And I think, like, growing up in the tech industry in many ways, there was no blueprint. When I jumped into the beverage industry, there were a ton of people that felt like they had more experience. And so therefore they were a better risk, right? And they thought I was, you know, some crazy, arrogant tech executive that was going to go launch a beverage company and whatever. Mm-hmm. So first I had to find somebody that would take a chance on me. And that's when I took $50,000 out. I found a contract manufacturer in Chicago. The original name of the company that I had dreamed up, as my husband said, I had been spending too much time with my young babies at this point, when he heard the name Wawa. And he said, okay, this sounds like a really crazy idea, but please don't call it Wawa, because first of all, there's this, you know, little, not so little store in Pennsylvania. He grew up in New York and he's like, they'll crush you. He's also an attorney. So he was like, this is a really bad idea. And then that's when I came up with the name for Hint. But, you know, it so many stories. And again, I think there are lessons learned is that, you know, I think actually being an outsider, being willing to learn, being willing to, you know, show up at our bottler when the only time that they would give me was midnight, right? They were running everybody else's product.
Yeah. Yeah. And then every other week. Yeah. Midnight on Mondays, every other week. So let's talk a little bit about brand, because I love brand stories. I love the enmeshing of a personality and a brand, and using the platform to inspire confidence in people, trust, hope, health, which is, I think, intrinsically part of your message about being, you know, helping people get into health or stay remaining in health. And I love, as one of my family members who is at YouTube often reminds me, the best brands are those who are able to be their own influencers and to have their own, you know, video videographers and have their own content development and all the rest of it. And I think that your ability to do that, and this term founderism keeps on coming up, and I've interviewed on this podcast dozens of founders who have used that platform to be their own marketers. Talk a little bit about some of the tricks of the trade and how you did that, and how often you had to keep, you know, that drum beat going.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I didn't intend to actually share my story early on, but in addition to launching a product on the shelf and launching a new company, what I realized pretty quickly was that no one else was doing an unsweetened flavored still water, was actually launching an entirely new category.
Yep.
So anytime you're launching a new category in any industry, there's a lot of education. And I think especially when you don't have competitors, something I fully believe now is that competition is not a bad thing, right? When competition starts to show up, you initially think like, oh God, it's all over. When competition shows up, it actually grows the category and people, it helps you to educate the consumer a lot more when there's a lot more people out there, especially when the big guys show up as they have over the years for Hint. All you can do is control what you can control and do the best you can. But going back to those early days, I really believed, especially having a, understanding of advertising from my media days, that I couldn't, it was sort of a reach and frequency thing. If I went and bought a billboard and said, hey, here's Hint, and we're doing unsweetened flavored water, I better be ready to spend a lot of money to get that frequency out there. And couldn't even imagine affording, commercials or radio or any of that kind of stuff when we were first getting going. And so the key thing that I realized, actually the first day that we had a bottle on the shelf at Whole Foods, we heard from a consumer who said that they love this product and they really needed a product that made water taste better, that didn't have sweeteners in it. And he shared with me that he had this new disease to me called type 2 diabetes. And type 2 diabetes was probably 1% of the U.S. had this. And he would share the story. I got on the phone with him. And it was at that moment when I asked him, like, so what kind of doctor do you go to determine that you have this? How do you, like, are there any organizations that you talk to? And I thought, if I can actually show up at these organizations, then that's how I build my audience. And the only expense that I have is actually the cost of the product. And so we started doing events. It's helpful when you have a water product because things like fun runs and that have an initiative. And that's the other thing that I figured out too. When people are going to an event like a breast cancer awareness, they're very passionate about a cause. When you see a brand associated with a cause that a consumer really cares about, they get a great feeling about your brand. And so even though those weren't specifically my causes, I felt like I wanted to support those causes. And, over the years, I've always said cause agnostic because there's so many different health-related issues that I think are helpful to people. But I think what I found was just sharing my story,
yep,
that people would put it into their own world,
yep,
right? That and they would create their own story around why this product was important to them. And, over the years too, from a PR standpoint, I think people often would ask me to come and talk about Hint and why I started the company. The number one reason why I was getting in the early days was because I had moved from tech. And it was so crazy to move from tech, a successful tech job, into, I was, I guess in their mind, recruitable. I had built something great. I, could have gone and worked at a lot of things, but I decided to go back down to the bottom again and go and start something. But then when people would start to hear the story,
had meaning, and the story has meaning. I mean,
And so it was really, that's how the story started to be told.
So it's interesting as we obviously there's the Hint part of it, but then there's the you part of it, as I mentioned earlier, around how you use resilience to inspire other young entrepreneurs, for example, and that it dawns on me that you may be some kind of a stoic in the ancient Grecian sense of the word, whereby the obstacle is the way. And I read a story, and maybe this is something for you to recount, about how you gained Amazon by losing Starbucks, and how, in fact, that obstacle was indeed a huge path. And it wasn't something to cry over at the time, but maybe it was a sting, but it actually opened up. That experience had opened up huge pathways for you. And that's a lesson in stoicism for young entrepreneurs, that something that seems bad today might actually be quite powerful tomorrow. Can you tell that story about what happened when Starbucks to Amazon?
Sure. Frankly, it more than stung. It really, really hurt. We got our product hint into Starbucks. When that happened, that's a highlight in the timeline of hint for sure. We went into over 6,000 stores. We were, you know, took us 6 months to really hit the goals that they wanted us to hit. But then we really took off after 6 months. We were in for 18 months and we were doing triple what the revenue goals were. And every day I woke up and looked at the sales data and was, pretty proud of what we were doing and how it just kept growing. Then suddenly I got an email from the Starbucks buyer, a brand new buyer. And she said, I've got bad news for you. I'm like, can't be that bad. We're doing triple the, revenue. And I'm sure we can, let's hear it. And she said, we're going to put food in the case. We've changed strategy. This comes from
higher margin.
Howard Schultz's office. I said, when? And she said, next week.
Gulp.
I said, wow. I mean, I had product that had been produced. I had investors that I had to go back. It was awful. And it was, I hated Howard Schultz. I hated this new buyer. I mean, there were a lot of things, right? After a couple of days, I thought, I have to figure out what to do with this product. I mean, it's sitting in the warehouse. It's going to go bad. And that's when I went into my inbox and suddenly Amazon buyer emails me. And he said, by the way, I buy your product every morning with my latte at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And I need this product as fast as possible. How soon can I get it? So I call him up and I said,
coincidentally,
wire the money to me. I've actually done an overrun of product. I didn't tell him that we had been kicked out of Starbucks. And he said, terrific. Yeah, let's get that over so that I can get it up. And anyway, we became one of the number one products on Amazon really quickly. And what's, it even goes full circle because at this point, we were in for about a year and doing incredibly well. And then the buyer said to me, not that we were kicked out. We still do tons of business on Amazon with Hint. But he said, the thing that's really interesting about the Hint consumer that's different than other consumers for other beverage companies that we sell, beverage products that we sell, is that that consumer has a healthy halo. And they buy products in other departments. So they'll buy products in sports. They'll buy products in, personal care. That really says that this consumer is healthy.
Yeah.
And so
the leading indicator. Yeah, it's good.
That's terrific. I said, the reason I started this company was to get myself healthier. And so would you mind sharing a few emails? I'd really love to talk to those consumers. I've always, really believed you can find a lot of answers by talking to consumers. And he said, Jeff Bezos won't give you the emails. And I was quite sure that Jeff wouldn't. Knowing him from my AOL days, I thought he's probably correct. So I remember coming back to San Francisco that night and thinking that the only way I'm actually going to get this information is to launch our direct-to-consumer business at drinkhint.com. And that the consumer needs to see everything we do. Yep. And that I'll always have retailers that stock, five of your top flavors or whatever it is. But we have to have one central location where they can go. We may not be the cheapest. We weren't there to compete with Amazon. I'll build an email list. And if I would have had that email list when we were booted out of Starbucks, then I would have been able to have a way to communicate with the consumers who were buying a product in Starbucks.
So many lessons that come out of a little bit of headwind, right?
Totally. And so that is really the lesson, you know, learned, and a big believer. Sometimes, as Steve Jobs would say, the dots eventually connect, and you know, you've got to just keep figuring out how to move forward.
So I like to, sadly, we're at time, but I like to end with some positive, vibes going out into the ether. So, you know, what are the things you're excited about in general? Anything, you know, that you want to share about what you're up to, or the universe in general, or anywhere in between that is something to leave us with?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that I'm really, really excited about is, you know, this, everybody's talking about the great resignation and people trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. And while I went through that almost 17 years ago now, I have hope for the fact that I think a lot of people are thinking about doing things that they're really excited about. I believe that none of us can move forward unless we create and disrupt. And so I'm hopeful that we are going to see a surge of new companies and new industries that are things that we had never thought about, things that, you know, maybe people never would have done if it wasn't for the last couple of years of everyone's life. So I think that I think we're in a big movement right now that is going to be pretty exciting for the world.
Kara Golden, that's a very, very good way to end this podcast with a big optimistic note. Thank you so much for joining me on the Safari. Kara Golden, the founder of Hint.
Thanks for having me.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.